The title of the message is Victory in the Wilderness, okay? Victory in the Wilderness. It's kind of related to the vision of our church, and the vision of our church is this. That was the vision, forerunners breaking boundaries, forerunners breaking boundaries. And when I was thinking about the vision, it's kind of like similar to the theme of this message, Victory in the Wilderness. Now, we have four values, you know, I know all of you know it, okay? We have four values in the church is membership, maturity, ministry, and mission. And membership, you know, I try to put it in different ways so that we could see it from different perspective. Membership is growing in God's love, okay? Growing in God's love. Maturity is growing in God's heart, okay? It's about the character of God in us. Ministry is growing in God's calling, and mission is growing in God's power. Right? And I believe, as catalysts, you know, members, that you want to break boundaries. I say to your neighbor, I want to break boundaries. Wow, Josh and Julie, you're here. Okay, let's give them a hand. We just got married last night. Okay. Wow, I'm blessed that you're here. And so, each one of us, we want to grow in God's power, God's love, heart, calling, and power. And the church said, but I want to tell you, I got to tell you the truth, it's not just going to happen because you come to church. It's not going to happen because, you know, you agree with it. Oh, this will be good for this church, this will be good for my family, this will be good for me. Okay? You don't want to hear this, but this is, you know, what I, you know, experience in my relationship with God. This is going to happen, this breakthrough, this transformation, this change. You being able to break boundary is going to happen in the wilderness. Okay? In the midst of pain, suffering, trials, different shaking that goes on in your life, when you feel weak, when you're spiritually attacked, when, you know, I tell the guys now, in order to know how to handle power, you're going to have to take a journey of powerlessness. Okay? Of powerlessness. And so, transformation, breaking boundary doesn't happen in the mountaintop because in the mountaintop you don't need to break any boundaries. Okay? It happens in the valley. Okay? It happens in the valley. There's a psalmist that said this, in the valley I will fear no evil. And why would you not fear no evil? Because in the valley you will be attacked by fear. And to fear no evil you have to overcome fear. In the mountaintop there's no fear. Huh? And you have to also experience in the valley. The psalmist says, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me in the valley. Huh? What God wants to show you is not himself in the mountaintop when everything's going well, everybody's happy, you know, great worship, and everybody's praying, and, you know, it's just everything, you know, there's no problems. That's not where God wants to reveal himself. God wants to reveal himself to you and to this church in the valley. In the valley. Why? Because when we meet God in the valley, that's where we will change. That's where we will be transformed. God changed Moses, in the desert when he was there for 40 years. God changed Joseph in the Potiphar's house and in the jailhouse. God changed a nation 40 years in the wilderness. So it's in the wilderness, okay? The mountaintop, there's no boundaries to break, but it's in the valley, in the wilderness, to realize we need to break this boundary, okay? We need to break this boundary. So this is what Rick Warren says. We rarely change until our pain exceeds our fear of change. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. Right? This is when we change. Now, I want to encourage you. okay, about God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is what it says. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Okay? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Say amen. Amen. This is God's heart for you. Okay? Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, this is the promise that we got to hold on to in your wilderness. All of you have a different wilderness in your life. You have your wilderness, okay? And in your wilderness, this passage assures us that it's not a time to be scared. It's not time to be hopeless and depressed and feel guilty and condemned. This is not a time in the wilderness, because if you're in the wilderness, you become bitter. If you're angry and you're confused, you will be overwhelmed. In the wilderness, is not time. I've added that you get bitter in the mountaintop when everybody else is happy or something like that, you know? But not in the wilderness. Right? This is not the time. Right? Not in the wilderness. Right? But you got to see, this is the time in your wilderness to be forerunners that break boundaries. Right? To experience and encounter victory in the wilderness. God in his sovereignty, okay, in his sovereignty allows or has put the wilderness in your life. Not to crush you. That's what the Bible says. Not to condemn you. Okay? Not to crush you, not to condemn you. Jeremiah 29 says, to show, can you believe this? He's the only one who could do this. In your valley, in your wilderness, to show his goodness. Okay? To show his goodness. To bless you, to transform you. Right? So that there will be deeper intimacy. So that you will fulfill his purpose. So that you can become the person you were created to be. You know, so for example, if you have certain disease and you don't feel the pain, okay, you're not going to seek a doctor. That disease will eventually take over your body and you will die. Okay? Conflict, raise your hand if you like conflict. Liz, okay. I don't like conflict, okay? You don't like conflict except Liz, right? You know, you know, it's painful because conflict is painful. Okay? But it's the pain that makes you figure out how to overcome that conflict. If it wasn't painful, you wouldn't deal with it. Okay? It's painful. Okay? It's not that pain, that wilderness and conflict is not so that you run away. Okay? You medicate yourself. So that we could overcome the conflict, so that we our relationship becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, we're a spiritual family, right? We're a spiritual family. Right? How are we going to get stronger? Because we have good bagels. Bagels not that strong. Right? It's not that powerful to make us love each other. Okay, it is. Loving each other enough to overcome the conflict together. Okay? This is where the love will go in love. You know, you don't know the value of money until you lose it. You feel pain. That's when you value money. You don't know the value of friendship until you lose it. You feel pain. You don't know the value of health until you lose it. Okay? Until you feel pain. Now, you know, our human tendency when you are going through your wilderness is to mask it, medicate it. It is to get depressed, okay? Get stressed, get shamed. Think about a bully, you know, when you were in elementary school or something, a bully. There's no bully in this church, but, you know, but think about when you were going to school, because I had a lot of bullies, you know, and if, you know, if a bully, God will put that bully in a wilderness. Why? Because deep down inside, there's a lot of insecurity. And it's in the wilderness it comes to the surface. Okay? All the insecurity will come to the surface, right? And God puts a bully in the wilderness so the insecurity comes to the surface. Why? So that God could heal. Okay? God could set this person free. But what does a bully do? When it comes to the surface, no way, you know. Instead, they will get angry, they will use intimidation and control so that they don't get healed. Okay? How many of you are married? Raise your hand. Okay? Now, marriage, okay, if you're married, I'm just gonna say this, you will not be able to run away from your childhood issue. Did you guys hear me? Okay. As a college student, you were able to run away. Okay. As a single, you were able to run away. But you can't run away from your childhood issue when you get married. Okay. The wilderness in marriage will bring to surface your childhood rejection, your abandonment, neglect, abuse, your father issue, your mother issue, your authority issue. Okay. It will come out. Married couple, am I speaking the truth? Yeah, it will come out. You have two things you could do when it comes to the surface. Right? When it comes to the, you could go the wrong direction. This, you know, I said this before. Hurt people. Right? When it comes to the surface, you will hurt your spouse, you'll hurt your children, you'll hurt your family, you'll hurt your friends, you'll hurt your church members. It will just continue. The hurt will continue. Okay? The generational iniquity, the pain, the rejection and brokenness will continue from generation to generation to generation. How many want that? Say to you, I don't want that. I don't want that. Or we could go the right direction. You got married, okay? God didn't make a mistake. Say to your spouse, God did not make a mistake. Okay? Say to your spouse, this marriage is God's will. Right? Amen. Uh-huh. Well, you're very happy because you just got yes, God's will. This is God's will. And what's gonna happen is in the wilderness time in your marriage, okay, your childhood, rejection, pain will come to the surface. Okay? It's time to get healed. Okay? It's not time to hurt each other. It's time to get healed. You know, I say hurt people. I want to say this now. Heal people. Okay? This is the direction we want to go as a church. Okay. The reason we don't change, the reason we don't overcome the wilderness, we can't win in the wilderness. I came up with 3 points. Number one, when we're in the wilderness, we find distractions. Okay, we find distractions like alcohol and drugs and junk food and porn and sex and video game, gambling. Right? So, okay, what's going on? When you're in the wilderness, again, God is good. He's not trying to harm you. He's not trying to hurt you. In the wilderness, your emptiness will be revealed. Okay, you see your incompleteness. Okay, you see your loneliness. In the wilderness, the pain will come to the surface. Your shame, your brokenness. Meaning, in the wilderness, will come out as the real you. Okay, it's not 1 hour or 1.5 hour Sunday service. The real you come out. Okay. It's in the wilderness when you are home. The real you come out. Huh? It's in the wilderness, the real you. It's the real you. You know, PTSD, this is my thought about it. Post-traumatic stress disorder used to be for soldiers who are, you know, who face war and battle, and they come back and they say, you know, they have PTSD. Now, I don't think it's the difficulties, because they don't have good food or the stress, that causes PTSD. I believe this is what causes PTSD, is that when they were home, soldiers, when they were home, everything was comfortable, right? And when everything's comfortable, they thought, I'm pretty good, I'm a good person. But what happens? Now they're in a war. They see the enemy. There's bullets flying. And they kill another human being. And in the midst of that, they see what they're really truly capable of, the evil that they're capable of. Okay? And when they come home, that's what they cannot deal with. That's what they cannot deal with. And when you're in this wilderness, the real you will come out. See, as a human being, we have this tremendous potential for good. I don't believe we're, naturally good. We have this potential for good. But you and I have a tremendous potential for evil. Both. We say, wow. No, it's just that you haven't faced that kind of pressure and stress. We say, if I was in Germany, I would be standing up for the Jews. No, most of us wouldn't under that kind of pressure. Right? And so it comes out. It comes out. The real you. Okay? And when in your wilderness, the real you comes out, okay? Don't use distraction, okay? What we do is we don't face the real us, but we find distraction. We medicate it, we cover it up. When the real you comes to the surface, we choose a short-term pleasure instead of really dealing with what's going on inside. As a church, to deal with this when it comes to the surface, we need to make an agreement here. We need to make an agreement that as a church, what happens is if we are very critical, judgmental, and legalistic, the real us will stay hidden. It will. It will stay hidden. And so, we're in the wilderness, God, and if this church is critical, judgmental, and legalistic, our people will continue to medicate, will continue to keep it hidden. We will never deal with the real us, the hidden things of our heart. So in our small group, in life group, we got to create a safe place. A safe place, a place of acceptance and love for us to overcome the hidden things of our heart. We gotta create, this church has to be a loving church. We gotta be an accepting church. But, and I'm gonna say this because I believe God wants to use this church for revival. We need to be loving and accepting. But one more, we need this balance, okay? Love, accept. At the same time, we gotta balance it with helping our people take responsibility for the hidden things in their heart. What am I saying? This is true love. Parents, you love your child. Amen? So they have to feel accepted and loved. It's very important. It's very important. You got to show this unconditional love to your child. But as a parent, you have another responsibility to prepare your child for the world. You got to prepare them. And to prepare them, you have to also train. You have to discipline. You have to have them take responsibility. You have to have them take. You do everything for them. They are not ready for the world. And so, as a church, this is what love is. Yes, we're not going to be judging you. You know, the shame, the addiction. We love you. We accept you. But we love you so much, we don't want you to stay in bondage. Okay? In dysfunction. We want to encourage you and help you to take responsibility for it and overcome it. Win in the wilderness. Amen? Okay? And so my challenge, you know, my challenge, you know, let's determine to be that kind of community. It's this fine line, you know. If it's just about having people take responsibility, you will become very critical, judgmental, legalistic. Huh? But if it's about all acceptance and love, you know, nobody changes. Huh? So we gotta have that. Let's determine to be that community, that spiritual family, right? That we will embrace and love each other, and be that iron that sharpens iron. Okay? How do you sharpen an iron? Well, you need another iron, and you sharpen one another. And there's sparks. It's not comfortable, but there's sparks. But we sharpen one another. Amen? Number two, the reason we can't win in the wilderness is we identify with the wilderness. Okay, what do I mean by that? We believe, you know, okay, you say to yourself, I will always be an addict. I will always be an alcoholic. I will never be free from porn. I will always be fearful. I will always be depressed. I will never change. This is who I am. Okay. Now, God doesn't bring you into the wilderness to identify with your, you know, with to be stuck there with your dysfunction. Okay? You know, God didn't bring you into the wilderness to be stuck there saying, this is who I am. Wilderness reveals the dysfunction in your heart. Not so that you identify with it, but like I said, we take responsibility for it, and we help each other, right? And then God's going to touch it and help you and heal you and set you free. Right? We'll set you free. The Bible says you, for example, the Bible says you are a sinner, but I don't want you to just focus on and being stuck saying, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. You know, can you imagine if it was a church that we're just stuck there? You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and just preach on sin and just worship about how we're a sinner, you know? No, no. All right? God tells us you're a sinner, not so that you get stuck there, not so that you identify yourself as a sinner. So that we know that we're a sinner, but we take another step. So that God forgives us. We receive his forgiveness. We receive his redemption. He cleanses us and he sanctifies us. So that we know after that, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there's a greater promise. It says, in Christ Jesus, you'll be more than a conqueror. So in the wilderness, all this addiction and shame and bitterness and rejection comes to the surface. Not so that God go, oh, look, what are you going to do about it? I can't please struggle with that. No, it comes to the surface so that God will heal you, set you free, and change you. Okay? That's why it comes to the surface. So that you will be more than a conqueror. Isn't that great? Okay? You know, you might have been abandoned. That does not define you. Okay? You might be out of a job, but that's not who you are. Your identity is not your disability, but who you are in Jesus. Your identity is not rejection, but you are a child of God. Okay? Your identity is not bitterness, but the forgiveness and the new life that's in Christ Jesus. Right? You know, we all experience disappointment, you know, in relationship, in life. You know, forerunners, this is what we're saying, forerunners doesn't make hurt, rejection, and broken relationship be our destiny. Right? It doesn't become our life sentence. Amen? Number three, the reason we can't win in the wilderness, we allow the devil to discourage us. Right? So we're in the wilderness, right? And so we don't medicate ourselves, and we don't try to numb the rejection and the shame, but it comes to the surface, right? And God starts to heal you, right? Give you truth and set you free. And what's going to happen is immediately the devil will attack you. Okay? The devil will attack you. Okay? You start working on something that God convicts you, and you will go through spiritual battle. The devil will discourage you. You know, if you repent, if you want to change, if you want to walk in faith, you all experience this, right? You got excited to change. I want to walk in faith. What happens? The moment you go home, the devil attacks you. You go through a spiritual battle, you know? And when you become a the Bible says to us, do not give the devil a foothold, right? We're in the wilderness, things come to the surface. Understand that you're going to go through a spiritual battle. You're going to go through warfare. See, a foothold is an entry point, a door in your heart or life that is open to the enemy's attack, a crack, a target for the enemy. And what happens to that foothold, it becomes a stronghold, an area that the enemy could keep you in bondage and influence and control you. That becomes a stronghold. Okay? And so, what is the attack? You know, you could discern this. Okay? You get excited about change. Okay? You want to change your life. You want to take responsibility, right, for the hidden things of your heart. You want to repent. Okay? Well, the enemy's going to attack you with fear. Okay? Enemy's going to attack you with rejection. Enemy is going to attack you with bitterness, shame, guilt, addictions. What? So you guys know what fear is. You guys know what addiction is. You guys know rejection and bitterness and what shame is. When you go home, when you feel those things, you are being spiritually attacked. Guys, ladies, you're being spiritually attacked. And that's what the Bible is telling us to discern. Our battle is not flesh and blood. Our battle is not with human being. Okay? This anger that you feel when you go home, this bitterness, this story that keeps playing and it gets worse and worse. Okay? This shame. This hopelessness, the depression that you feel when you go home, you have to understand that spiritual attack. That spiritual attack. Huh? You will be discouraged to prevent you from winning in the battle. And that was the problem with the Israelites. They were in the wilderness, and they came out of the wilderness. Well, you know, the reason they couldn't come out is they saw the stronghold, the city. And when they saw the stronghold, the city, right, you know what they said? Impossible. It's impossible. We could never defeat it. And so, you know, I want to encourage you as forerunners, right? Don't say it's impossible. When you think about what you're going to face, the spiritual attack when you go home. I want to give you a moment to think about that. Because some of the spiritual attack that you go through was the same attack last week. Was the same one a month ago. The devil's not that creative. He's going to use the same attack over and over and over again. When you go home, you're going to face that spiritual attack. Okay? But right now, what's going to be your attitude? Oh, impossible. No. Okay? What I want you to, you know what the Bible, what Paul says? Okay, Christian life is a race. You do not run the race believing that you're going to lose. You do not run the race thinking that you're going to barely make it. It says, run the race as though you're going to get the crown. Okay? So when you think about home, okay, you're going to face this spiritual battle. You say in your heart, know what you're going to face, say, I will win. Say it. Okay? I'm going to be victorious. What? You see, forerunners, and I want to encourage you with this too. You know, that doesn't mean that you're not going to make any mistake. Okay? But what you're saying is, the mistakes is not going to stop me. Okay? It's not going to stop me. You know, you're not, you know, again, our calling is membership, maturity, ministry, and mission, walking out God's love, walking out the heart of God, the calling of God, and the power of God, you know, and we're not going to do this perfectly. We will make mistakes, but forerunners do not let failure stop them. You know, God loves you so much that he can use my failure for his purpose. This is that winning, biblical winning attitude. Okay? It's not going to stop me. So when you go home, you have this winning mentality, but if you don't do it perfectly and you make some mistake, okay, you failed, I want you to have another attitude. That's not going to stop me. Okay? Say that to your, say that out. That's not going to stop me. Okay? Why? Because in spite of our fear, God is greater than my failure. Okay? You know, yes, we're a sinner. We're under spiritual attack. We live in a broken world. Okay? But what God told the Israelites, but I will be with you. I believe God is going to use me. I expect God to use me, not because of what I have done, but because what Christ has done for me on the cross. Okay, amen. Let's pray. Okay, some of you are in different season. You know, we're all in our personal wilderness. But some of you, you're spending all your energy just to cover it up, you know, keep it hidden, or numb yourself. And, just, you know, just if you could just say, if I'm in that season, I'm not going to do that anymore. You don't have to, you know, you see your nakedness, the enemy wants to put shame on you. Don't listen to the enemy. In your nakedness, God wants to cover you. He says, come to me. Come to me. Some of you, you know, in your own wilderness, the issue is coming out, you know. It came to the surface. You know what it is. And you go home and you get spiritually attacked. You get discouraged. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage you this way. Okay? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. That's what he told Joshua before he went into the land of Canaan. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Because of that truth, number one, you need this attitude. I'm going to win in the wilderness. But to win, God gives us another grace and mercy. You know, he doesn't expect you to do it perfectly. Huh? He knows there will be relapses. There will be a stumble. But this is what he's asking you. Don't give up. I will help you. Don't give up.